We've come once again to look into the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4. From verse 17 to 25. Romans chapter 4 from verse 17 to 25. The title of this message is God who give life, who gives life to the dead. God who gives life to the dead. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became father of many nations, just as it had been said of him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. The last verse, 25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. May the Lord bless his word. Father, open your word to us. Teach us your truth. Grant us an understanding of this heavy words, these holy words, these wholesome words. Help us to understand, and not just to understand and know, but to be transformed by it. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. We are going to be seeing three brief points this afternoon. Three brief points, and the first one is, so shall your offsprings be. The text begins this way. As it is written, referring to the Old Testament, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. That is God, who gives life to the dead and call those things which do not exist as though they did, who against all hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your offsprings be. Abraham was an old man, as we are all familiar with, we all know. Abraham is a man who is already old and has no child, has no heir. However, it says in our text that the God who Abraham believed in is a God who calls things that are dead back to life. The God who we see in this text is a God who calls things that are not, things that don't exist, and bring them into existence. He is the God who created this world out of nothing. There was only darkness. There was nothing, and God in his desire says, let there be light, and there was light. Our father Abraham believed in God. He believed not in a God who is made of idols, not a God who is carved by human hands. He left those gods behind. He was a pagan, called to follow Yahweh. So he believed in the living God, who has all power in heaven and earth to do as he pleases. So Abraham knows his condition, that even though he is too old, he is far gone, there is no way for him to have a child at this age. He believed God, though he had no physical evidence. He believed that when God says, "You shall be father of many nations, your offspring shall be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea, on the sea banks." He believed. He had faith, even though there is nothing there to support him. There is nothing there for him to hold on to and say, "Okay, because of this, what God is saying can be achieved. It can happen. It can be accomplished." There was nothing for Abraham to hold on to. And so the story goes that way, that an old man with his barren wife Sarah, who had no hope of a child, got a child. But what is the point? What is the point of having this offspring? What is the meaning of this offspring that God is telling Abraham, "I'm going to give you even though you have old age"? The promise of a child to Abraham is not just about God showing his power to make a barren woman deliver. It's not just trying to show that I can make an old man to have a child, even though that is wonderful, it's miraculous, but that is not the point of Abraham giving birth to a child in his old age. But for us to understand what is going on, let's turn back to Genesis, to chapter 3 of the same Genesis, where we know about Abraham. We see all that has happened to him. Back in the fall of man, after Adam sinned, in verse 15, it says, God says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." I want you to understand this. Abraham is the one that God has chosen to fulfill what we just read in Genesis 3:15. When God has said, after Adam sinned, Adam fell, sin has come into the world, and God has brought judgment. And we know that sin brings hell. Sin brings death. The soul that sins shall die, the wages of sin is death. God then pronounces a way to escape from this death, a way to destroy the work that the devil has carefully planned and successfully accomplished in the Garden of Eden. And then he says, "The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent." However, this man, Abraham, whom God has called out of his pagan life, out of his family, and say, "Come, I'll give you a promised land, I'm going to give you a seed," the very same seed he's talking about in Genesis 3:15. This man is too old to have a child. This is the problem. God has tied our salvation on a seed. He has tied our salvation on a child who is to come from Abraham. However, Abraham is too old. It's not just about the barrenness of Sarah. It's not just about the old age of Abraham. That's not the problem. The problem is our salvation is tied to this man who cannot bear a son, who is too old to have a child. But then again, this is the God who we say does whatever he pleases, and there is no stopping our God. This is Yahweh. And so he provides a child for Abraham, not because he wants us to read this story and say, well, if I am barren, if I just have faith like Sarah or believe like Abraham, I am going to have a child. No, that is not the point of the story. If we take it that way, we are mistaken and we clearly interpret it falsely. But God's promise there, the promise about this child, is about God raising dead sinners back to life. Verse 17 again. He says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. God who gives life to the dead through Jesus Christ, through the seed which is to come from Abraham. And so though Abraham was old, there is no stopping him from getting a child. And though we are sinful, though the people of God have sinned, there is nothing stopping God from saving them from their sins and giving them permanent salvation. And that's the first point. We should understand this. The story there is not about miracle, God doing a miracle of giving us a child. It's about God saving our souls from eternal damnation. It's about God providing the seed he promised to Eve in the garden after man fell. And so this is more reason for rejoicing. More reason for rejoicing over a woman who was not able to give birth, and then she gave birth after her menopause. It is about men who have no other hope, who are lost forever, who have nothing. Men like Abraham, who it says in verse 18, contrary to hope, against all hope, there is no hope. There is no hope. You know what it means when there is no hope? Think about people being attacked by armies and they are all surrounded. There is no way for the person to escape. They have already spotted where you are. I watch military movies a lot, and sometimes when you watch movies that are historic about wars that happen in places, you see that when the enemies already spot where they are and they are only a few and there is no survivor for them, the only thing that can happen is if something else comes from outside. But if it depends on them in that place, they are all dead. And the next thing they are up to is calling back to base. Please send backup. If it's the airstrike, send the airstrike. There is no hope for Abraham. This is such a condition, even worse. There is no hope of him having a child, just as there is no hope for us having salvation, unless God himself comes into play. However, those little soldiers who are stranded, who are encircled by thousands of other enemies, they had faith. They believed that if they called, the only thing they can have is if the base will send the airstrike, we can have an escape. They trusted in the base. They trusted in their commanders back there at the base. Abraham trusted in who is more than any commander, more than any military force in the world. He trusted in Yahweh himself. He trusted in God when God says, I will do this. You will have this child. The chosen one, the one I've spoken about, the one I've promised about, the seed will come. And he will save his people. Contrary to hope. In hope Abraham believed. And so his seeds were many. And so those who have salvation are many. The next point is glory to God. Verse 19 and 20 and 21 to 21. and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, though it was already dead. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So Abraham heard what God said, and then he looked at himself, knowing that he has no hope. He did not deny his condition, as the Word of Faith movement will tell us, the prosperity gospel. It says when you have an issue, when you have a problem, you don't admit that you have a problem or you have a sickness, you deny the sickness. You don't take anything negative. If a doctor gives you a bad report, the lies, the gospel, the false gospel, the prosperity gospel will tell you is that do not admit that you have this problem. Deny it. Reject it. Say it's not true. That's not what faith does. That's not what faith teaches us. Abraham, the father of faith that we know in the scripture, did not deny his condition. What did he do? He faced the fact that this is what he is. He has nothing. He has no hope. He is dead in himself. He cannot have a child. Sarah is gone when it comes to giving birth. Her time has passed. That is not going to happen naturally. He understood what was going on. He understood the whole condition. And what does he do? He believes, even though everything has gone sideways. And why does he believe? Because he feels like God should do it? No. That's another lie. When you feel like you want God to do something for you, just believe and he will do it. That's not it. If God has not said something and we believe it, that is presumption. And that is sin. But when God has spoken, and we can see in his word that this is what he has promised us to do, if we don't believe it, that's unbelief and it's sin. When we believe it, that is faith, and God says, I will walk because you believe my word. And so Abraham, without weakening in faith, without fear, he stood strong in faith and believed, despite of the fact that he was too old and his wife was already dead when it comes to giving birth. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. He gave all glory to God. Why would he give all glory to God? Why would he give all glory to God? Why would he not say, okay, fine, I need to like glory in myself for a bit. I have something I can hold on to. No, it's because he understands that there is nothing he can hold on to. How does this come to us? This comes to us in this way. We must understand that this old age, this deadness of Abraham and Sarah, is not just talking about the old age he has, the physical deadness, but a spiritual condition in which all of us are born in. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Now that Abraham is seeing himself as dead, what is this to us? What are we to understand here? It's a condition that all of us are born into. Remember, we said earlier that the seed that Abraham got was not just about him having a child in old age, but about our salvation. We are dead when it comes to saving ourselves. We are dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses. We have nothing. But to be made righteous through faith like Abraham, one must see himself as God sees him. Just as Abraham faced the fact that he was dead, we must come to face the fact that we are nothing but dead sinners who only stink and smell and sin, and that is all. That is all we have. Helpless. Naked, wretched, and blind. It is Spurgeon who said that there is mercy for a sinner, but there is no mercy for one who will not own himself a sinner. In other words, if Abraham held on to himself and said, "No, I don't need you, God. I can find a way to get this child myself," like he did with Hagar, and God had to send them away because that was sin against God. You can't get the seed yourself, Abraham. No matter what you do, if you look for 1,000 Hagars and give birth to children, none of them will save you from your sins. And none of them will make you heir of many nations. Will make you have heir of many nations. None of them. Nobody can save you unless I, God, do a miracle and provide the seed I promised. We are all dead in our sins. We are all worthless when it comes to saving ourselves. There is nothing we can do for ourselves to save ourselves. Nothing. And until we come to face that fact, like Abraham did, until we come face to face with the fact that all I am is a sinner, all I am is a liar, a murderer, a thief, oh, then we can come to Christ, who came not for the righteous but for the unrighteous. Then we can come to Christ and he will look upon us with mercy. In verse 5 of the same Romans chapter 4, it says, "To him who does not walk but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." It is only ungodly people that God justifies. It is not the righteous he came for. He came for the unrighteous, for the ungodly, those who are filthy, those who see themselves as sinners. And that's why the hymn writer will sing, "Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. There is no other way but coming this way." And that is why God gets all the glory. That's why God gets all the praise. There is no Arminianism here in the scriptures. It is all God's grace. Salvation is here, is clearly seen by, it's by God's grace through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. There is no room for me to boast. There is no room for me to bring my works and say, I tried my best and I have done this, and yes, now I shall enjoy my heaven forever. No, there is no voice in heaven that will make that cry. For the only song in Zion will come from ungodly men who were saved by grace. And they will all be singing to the glory of God alone. There is no brother one saying, "Brother, come, let me tell you how I actually fought for my own salvation and got myself here." No. It's only tearful eyes who are all grateful to God and saying, "Though I was helpless, I had nothing to do. I had no hope. The enemy was already upon me. I have seen death, but you rescued me. Look how Jesus Christ saved me." It's all to the glory of God. It's all to the glory of God. Just as Jonah will say in Jonah 2 verse 9, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed to make, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Now let God and his name be praised forever and ever, because it is through faith we have been saved. Now let no one boast, but let every man give glory to God alone. Now to the last point, verse 22 to 25. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were not written for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And this is the third point. This is also for us. This is ours. This is not just written when it says it was credited to him for righteousness. It was not just written for Abraham, or for his name to be praised, or for Abraham to be seen as, oh, the big man, oh, the righteous one, oh, wonderful Abraham. No. It was credited to him for righteousness, but not for him alone, but it says for us also who will believe. Who will believe, who will come to trust in this same God. This God who made a promise. This God who told the woman in the garden and said, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the serpent. And you, the woman, your seed will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. This God who made this promise to Abraham, telling him that this seed I have spoken about will come by you, to old Abraham, and Abraham believed, and it was written to Abraham that it was credited to him for righteousness because he believed what God said. He believed that God is able to save, that God is going to provide a Savior through him. Said this was not written for Abraham alone, but for us also, who will come to believe this same message that Abraham has believed. It's in John chapter 8, verse 56, where Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. Talking to the Jews, your father Abraham, he saw my day and rejoiced. He was glad as he saw my day. What did he mean? Let's take our minds back where God told Abraham, sacrifice your son, your only son. Made him see a clear picture of what he was going to do so that salvation will come. On the very mountain that he was going to do it, so that salvation will come. Isaac survived. Abraham rejoiced as his son survived when the ram came to die for his son. He rejoiced and was glad that this life of his son is spared. But what is the overall picture? That God is going to send his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, so that our lives will be spared. This is all written for us to see. So that all who believe in this Jesus, who came to die for our sins, all our sins will be washed away, and we will be free to walk, free to live, and free to love, and the day of judgment will come, and we end up in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. It was not written for Abraham alone, it's also for us. Salvation, which is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, is not just for Abraham, who is an old liar, but it's for me, who is a young liar. It's for you, who is a young thief, the young one who curses. It's for you. is for you to read and see that Christ was delivered up for our sins, for your sins, for the crimes you've committed, so that you will believe in Him and trust like Abraham. By trusting Him, you are declared righteous. Your sins are washed, and He gives you a new life. And He washes you clean, and He makes you whole, and He makes you a new person who no longer wants to go on in his lies and in his stealing, but wants to follow the path of righteousness. Heaven and hell is at stake. If you have not trusted in Christ for your salvation, if you have not received righteousness for faith, if your trust is not in Christ and Him alone, if you are trusting in something you have, maybe your baptism, even though that is good, if you are trusting in your baptism, you will perish. If you are trusting in your tithe, in your offering, you will perish. You must trust in Christ and Christ alone, for He paid in full. He said, "It is finished." There is nothing left to add but to believe, like Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Why would you not trust Christ? Why would you not believe? Oh, why would you be foolish to harden your heart? Children, listen. What is there to hold on to that is all hell, and to reject Christ that is all beauty and gold and diamonds and everything wonderful? Christ is the treasure of treasures. Sin and hell is all you don't want. Now repent from your sins. Repent from trusting in your dead works, in your obedience, and put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. For He was given up. He was delivered up for our sins. He paid for everything, so that the one who places faith in Him will freely be saved, freely be forgiven, freely be justified, and freely be declared righteous. Believe and be saved. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your Son Jesus, who died for our sins. Thank You for this opportunity You've given us to hear, to remind ourselves of this truth, and to even hear it maybe for the first time. Father, convert our hearts where we need conversion, and encourage us where we need encouragement. Transform us, sanctify us, forgive us our trespasses. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.